We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God, and you're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast on a beautiful Tuesday here. No matter what the weather goes on outside, it is a beautiful day when Jesus is living in your heart. So I'd just like to start off the program today by saying thank you to all of those who've sent emails, sent cards, made donations to our Thanksgiving outreach. I've received some very encouraging emails and cards of late talking about people who are listening to the program. And truly, I do appreciate that feedback and rejoice in what God is doing in your life. I thought I would give you an update. This coming Saturday, so it's just a few days away, our Thanksgiving outreach is taking place. And our goal is to bless as many, many households as we can with a free Thanksgiving dinner, all the way from the turkey to the pumpkin pie. We've had some donations that has come in as far as some of the canned goods and stuff like that, and as well as some of the listeners and members in our congregation have, made donations towards the project as well. And I just thought I'd give you an update. As of right now, a little over $700 has come in towards that project. And so we're still well short of the financial goal we have to be able to bless 100 households. But we are well on our way. And we do thank you. Thanks to all of those. We've received donations from as far south as Valkyria and right here on Merritt Island as well. So thank you very much for that. Along those same lines, I had a flyer that was given to me. As you know, I'm about building the kingdom. I really am. That's what I want to do. And we like to promote other things that are going on, not just things that are going on at Merritt Assembly of God. And I received a flyer for an annual free Thanksgiving Day dinner. It's a community dinner that is available for anybody who might want to participate. This one happens to be located at Sydney Fisher Park in Cocoa Beach. It will take place on Thursday, November the 27th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. for those in need within the community. And so if you are interested in helping out with that, you could call Daniel at 321-613-8171. If you're interested in helping out, call Daniel at 321-613-8171. I don't have flyers detailing others, but I've heard that there are some similar events taking place in Merritt Island. And also, I believe, in Cocoa as well. So you want to check those out. I also received another flyer about the Space Coast State Fair Family Faith Night with KJ52 concert. And that's coming up in just a few days. That's coming up Friday night, the 21st. It's going to be in Vieira. It's Faith and Family Night there. And you can choose from more than 200 free unlimited rides and games, attend a Christian music concert for only $14, but that the tickets have to be purchased in advance. You can get those tickets at itickets.com, lifevisual.com, or the Facebook event page. And the gates open at 5, the concert begins at 8, and they've got a new roller coaster and some opening acts, so if you're interested in that, this will be at the Friday night, November 21st in Vieira. And so if you are bringing a group of 20 or more, you get two free tickets for that. And so be sure and check out their Facebook page, or check it out on itickets.com or livevisual.com. So we'll try and mention that over the next couple of days. A lot of exciting things going on. We are very excited about what God is doing. Things have been moving wonderfully. I got an email from a man that was celebrating how he had given his heart to the Lord at the end of February this year, and we love to hear those sorts of testimonies, and so we rejoice in what God is doing in his life. Let's get into the Word today if we can. We've been talking about Holy is the Name of the Lord, and we've been talking for a number of days now about the name of the Lord. We've been talking about Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom. And today I want to take you to the book of Ezekiel chapter 48. And in verse number 30, I'm in Ezekiel right now, or in my devotion time, and just had come across this passage a few days ago myself. And in verse number 30 of Ezekiel 48, it says, "These are the exits of the city on the north side, measuring 4,500 cubits. The gates of the city shall be named after the tribes of Israel. The three gates northward, one gate for Reuben, one gate for Judah, and one gate for Levi on the east side, 4,500 cubits, three gates, one gate for Joseph, one gate for Benjamin, and one gate for Dan. On the south side, measuring 4,500 cubits, three gates, one gate for Simeon, one gate for Issachar, and one gate for Zebulun." On verse 34, "On the west side, 4,500 cubits with three gates, one gate for Gad, one gate for Asher, and one gate for Naphtali. All the way around shall be 18,000 cubits." And so if you are reading your Bible and you come into this passage of Scripture, and you're just reading all of these measurements, and it, you know, in my mind, it's like looking at a blueprint, you know, and it's hardly the most intriguing narrative that you could be reading. But right at the end, just when you think that you couldn't possibly hear anything revelatory about God, all of a sudden, at the end of verse number 35, the end of the book of Ezekiel in chapter 48, it says this, "And the name of the city from that day shall be The Lord Is There." And the Hebrew there is Yahweh Shammah, or Jehovah Shammah. And that phrase, that title, literally means God is there. Now, I want you to know that he is not only in the New Jerusalem, but he said this to you and I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And so wherever you are, wherever you go, you have the assurance of knowing that the Lord is there. And that is why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could be so confident when they refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar and the sound of the trumpets and all of that. They said, you know what, we are not going to bow to that golden idol. We're not going to do it. That would be displeasing in God's sight. And they answered the king very respectfully, and they said, "Our God is able to deliver us, but even if he does not, we still will not bow." And so the king was enraged. He had the three of them thrown into the fiery furnace, but before he did that, he had it heated up to the hottest that it had ever been, seven times hotter than it was normal. It was so intense with the heat that the people who threw them into the fiery furnace actually were overcome and died from the heat themselves. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were down in the fire. They were thrown in bound. But then when the king looked in, he saw them walking around inside the fire. Their clothes were not on fire. They did not smell of smoke. Their bonds were loosed. And he said, "How many people did we throw in?" They said, "Three." And he said, "Well, how come there's four people in there, and that fourth guy looks like the Son of God?" And that's because wherever you are as a covenant child of God, God promises that he will be there. He will never leave you and never forsake you. One of my favorite examples of this is in the book of Revelation. John had been condemned to die. They had tried to kill him. That hadn't worked. So they decided that the next best thing was that they would banish him to the Isle of Patmos, which was basically just a rock out in the middle of the ocean, or out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. And he was sent there with one responsibility, and that was to die. To die without the ability to influence anyone else. He was sent there by the government just to die. And instead of that, he had a revelatory encounter with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Because it doesn't matter if you are on a rock all by yourself. Today, there's probably some people listening. I just feel it in my spirit. There, you are listening. You are in a room all by yourself, or in a house all by yourself. Maybe you're at a business and you're all by yourself. And I want you to know that the same Jesus who appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos is right there with you wherever you are at. And John, when that revelation happened to him, by the way, it said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. In other words, he did not allow his external circumstances to derail him from his primary responsibility of worshiping and loving upon Jesus. And it said that he was doing that to such an extent that it described him as being in the Spirit. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You can read about it in Revelation chapter 1. And so John, all of a sudden, remember, he was sent there to die so that he would not influence people from then on out. But instead, he received a vision of the resurrected Savior. I love the disciple John, because in the Gospel of John, he identifies himself not by his name, but by his position as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It did not mean that he was the only disciple that Jesus loved, but that was how he viewed himself. That revelation in itself was more important than his name or his fame. And so he went and to the Isle of Patmos. Jesus appeared to him and gave a revelation that is still blessing the church 2,000 years later. When people tell you that you will not make an impact anymore, I want you to tell them, wait a minute, you don't understand. God is Lord over my past. God is here with me in my present, and he is going to be with me through the end. And so with him working in me, I am going to do great exploits for God. I had a person that told me one time, their exact words was, "Bob, I'm sure that you're a great preacher, but nobody cares what you have to say. Nobody cares what you have to say." And I want you to know that God does not sentence you and I to mediocrity. Instead, he causes us with his presence to rise in levels of influence in the kingdom of God. You and I are meant to influence our community. So today, you may be there and there's nobody there with you, and the devil's told you, you know, it's a hopeless situation. You are never going to be able to make a difference in somebody. I want to encourage you, wherever you are, just begin to thank God that he is right there with you. David said, "It doesn't matter where I make my bed, whether it's at the highest of heights or the lowest of lows, God is there with me." And so just remind yourself that God is there. Find yourself worshiping, studying the Word of God, worshiping God. Allow yourself to be in the Spirit on today, because today is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Allow him to use you for his glory and cause you to have an eternal influence in people's lives. You know what? I couldn't tell you the name of the person that sentenced John to the Isle of Patmos. I couldn't tell you the name of the soldier who delivered him there and then sailed off into the ocean. I couldn't tell you his name, but I can tell you about the man that God used 2,000 years ago to speak volumes to a community then, made a difference in people's lives then, and is still making a difference in people's lives today. Let God use you. And you say, well, I don't have much in the way of capabilities. If you can cry out to God, you can make a difference. God hears people when they pray, and he answers those prayers. So God is there with us. So I just wanted to share that with you out of Ezekiel chapter 48. I want to just tell you that sometimes whenever you think that you are reading through some dry and mundane portions of Scripture, that you need to look at it a little bit closer, because sometimes in the midst of all of those, seemingly mundane, ordinary, just names and things like that, that all of a sudden there's a revelation from God that could be there, and it'll be a blessing to you. Now I want to take you to another of the prophetic books, a little bit to the left, over into Jeremiah chapter 33. I haven't mentioned this today on the broadcast, but I do want to mention it. I want to try and remember it as much as I can. In one of the notes that somebody sent me, they said, that they listen while they're driving to work, and they don't have the opportunity to take notes while they're driving. But if you would contact us, if you'd be interested in having this list of revelation of the names and nature of God, just contact us at 454-4263 or 165 North Grove Street. Again, the phone number is 454-4263. The address is 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. You can also contact us via our Facebook page. You can like us on Facebook, leave me a message, and we will get that to you. If you wanted to contact us by email, however you want to do it, MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com, we will get this into your hands so that you can know it. The names and nature of God are not just for our mental knowledge. It's not just for a mental awareness of who God is, but these names and nature and revelations of who God is are meant for us to remember that his name is holy, and that He is able to make a difference in our lives because of who he is. And right now, Genesis, the 23rd chapter, in verse number 5, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called." And it says, "The Lord our righteousness." And that is Yahweh Tsidkenu, or Jehovah Tsidkenu. And so it, the Lord our righteousness. Now the scripture says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. A lot of people say that, oh, I'm a good enough person, I'm going to go to heaven. Well, when they called Jesus good, Jesus responded with this question, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but God." There's none good but God. And so today I want you to know that we cannot rest on who we are in our own selves, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's, I don't know if you've ever tried, got dressed and looked down and all of a sudden you saw that you had a massive stain on your shirt and it wouldn't come out. But most of the time when I do that, I end up just taking that off, and I either keep trying to get it out until I've either succeeded, or I have made a donation to the trash can. But our righteousness is like that. Our best efforts are not going to be able to undo the sin that we have in our life. I am so thankful that God was not content with us just having a sacrifice of a lamb or a bull or something like that to try and cover over the stain. We, outside of our church, as I'm looking out of my office window, there's an intersection that is there. And several years ago, probably close to 10 years ago now, it was right after the road was freshly paved. There was somebody that was driving down the road. They came to the stop sign. Well, when they accelerated to go away from the stop sign, evidently they had a bunch of purple paint that came flying out of their vehicle. and it just dumped all over the pavement. And so there was this big purple stain on the pavement. And so the county came out and they put like one coat of sealer over it. And for a while it looked like everything was going to be okay, but eventually that sealer began to break down and you could see the purple stain underneath there. And that's never, it wasn't a permanent solution. It did not take away the stain. It just covered it up, but it had a limited lifespan. I want to declare to you today that Jesus Christ is the Lord, our righteousness, that his effect is not just a masking. It is just not a covering up of the sin so that people can't behold it, but instead he comes as our righteousness to restore us to right standing with God. That's what righteousness is. It gives us the ability to be in right standing before God and before man. When he comes to deal with our sin, he just doesn't put a coating over it, but instead he cleanses us all the way to our inner core. He gives us a new nature and a new purpose. He does something that is going to have eternal effect. And so in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter here, it says that God was going to raise to David a branch of righteousness. So there may be other people who are living and they have no concern, no care for the things of God, no care for whether they are pleasing or displeasing in his sight. For some people, there is a complete and total disconnect between their profession of faith and the behavior in their lives. There's no reflection of their profession of faith in the life that they lead. I want you to know that that's not the way it's supposed to be. God wants to come in and take out our heart of sin and our heart of stone, and he wants to give us a heart of flesh. He wants to give us a new heart and a new spirit. He wants to change our spiritual DNA so that no longer are we looking for what is the most sin that I can commit and still get into heaven. Instead, we have the mindset of how much can I do to please God? And so where one is wanting to hang on to sin as much as possible, the other says, I don't want to have any of that in my life. So I encourage you to allow this branch of righteousness, that which is Jesus Christ, to do what it says here in Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter in verse number 5, and that is, let the king reign. Let him rule and reign in your heart, because when that happens, it says that what the result is going to be is that it's going to prosper. In 3 John verse number 2, it says, above all else, I wish, brethren, that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So a lot of people want healing. A lot of people want prosperity, but they're ignoring the well-being of their soul. Today, I want to declare to you that in righteousness, that we are attending to the needs of our soul, to the needs of our spirit, and the result of that is going to be a thorough prospering, a thorough amount of peace, and health manifesting itself in our lives. Another thing it says is, as a result of this, that the covenant people of God would dwell safely. That is a tremendous encouragement. Let's look over this. This passage occurs one more time and is in Jeremiah also. And it's in verse number 33. And it basically is saying the same thing. It's repeating exactly the same thing was in Jeremiah 23. Let's look at verse number 14. Behold, this is Jeremiah 33 now. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. And then it goes on and report, in those days and at that time I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. And so what Jeremiah is saying here is God not only promises that he's going to be our righteousness, but the days are coming that he is going to perform that good work. I want you to know that that promise was fulfilled the day that Jesus died upon the cross, when he shed his blood for the forgiveness of my sins, the forgiveness of your sins. He came to restore us from a person that was disconnected relationally from God to a person that is now in right standing before God. That means that I don't have to be ashamed, that I am standing there with my advocate, Jesus Christ, who is pleading my case, and he is not pleading about how good I am, but he's pleading on how perfect and righteous he is. And his case goes like this: Father, today I appeal to you for Bob Arthur's, that he has asked me to forgive him of his sin and be the Lord of my of his life. And I want you to know that I willingly went to the cross and paid for the penalty of his sin. And today he is in right standing with you because of the work that I've done. And the Father says, my child, I am so glad to have you in my presence. We can come boldly before the throne of grace to find help in our time of need. The Lord, our righteousness, should eliminate from you as a child of God any tendencies to fall prey to condemnation or negative self-image. Anytime the devil tries to tell you that you're worthless, you can say, wait a minute, God has restored me to righteousness through Jesus Christ, and so I am not worthless, I am priceless. And today, I'm not here as a perfect person, but I am here as a forgiven person. But I am also here as a person who is pursuing righteousness, not just hoping to accidentally stumble into it. So let's pray today. And if you have never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, I just want to encourage you that today it'd be a great day to make that a reality. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you that you are good because you are God. You are holy and righteous in all you do. I want to thank you that you are God, our righteousness. And I thank you, God, that you are sufficient to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. Father, today I pray that if anybody is battling worthless feelings or negative self-image, or, Lord, if they're just feeling condemned because of their past, I pray today, God, that you would give them a new revelation, and that is a revelation of their future, of being in the presence of Jesus Christ forever and ever, healthy and sound, prosperous and blessed. Lord, today we accept you as our Lord, our Savior, our King, and our God, in Jesus' name. If you just prayed that prayer, would you call us and let us know? We'd love to rejoice with you. Until then, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."